In the Garden with Keane's Garden Centre Kilcolgan for the best selection of trees and shrubs in the west of Ireland. See keanesgardencentre.ie.
I'm now joined by a man for whom a trip to the Clare Garden Festival would be heaven. It is Tom Stewart from Keane's Garden Centre in Kilcolgan with us as ever for In the Garden. But do my eyes deceive me? He is directly across from me in studio. Good morning to you, sir.
And very good morning to you, Alan, and great to be in the studio this morning.
Thanks very much for popping in. As ever, the questions rolling in, Tom. So look, there is still time to send in your gardening question if you'd like Tom to come up with an answer for your problem. 086 1800 964. We also have two 30 euro vouchers for Keane's Garden Centre in Kilcolgan to give away. So get your gardening questions in ASAP. But before all of that, Tom, this week's topic, you want to take our listeners through favourite flowering trees for spring.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. So it's a time of year when lots of flowering trees are just starting to show off their wonderful floral displays, putting the dark days of winter well behind us. And with slightly warmer, slightly better weather promised for the week ahead, they'll be catching our attention even more. So with this in mind, I've listed some beautiful flowering trees for this time of year for anyone considering planting a tree in their garden, or even giving one as a gift, or maybe planting one for a special occasion, or perhaps planting a tree in memory of a loved one. There's lots of opportunities for planting trees, even just for the love of trees. So a few basic points to remember when planting a tree. Soak the tree in a bucket of water before planting and dig a square hole to encourage the roots to spread via the corners of the hole. Use a little bit of multi-purpose compost and plant a tree at the same level that it is in the pot, with the top of the root ball at soil level. Then, because planting too deeply can actually kill the tree. So place the tree into the hole and backfill with a mix of soil and compost, and gently rock the tree over and back just to help the soil settle in and to avoid any air pockets in the soil. Once in situ, you can firm it in by using your heel to press it into position, making sure the roots are making good contact with the soil. Use a stake and a rubber tree tie to secure it and prevent any wind rock. Give it a good watering after planting and keep it well watered, especially during prolonged dry weather. Hopefully that happens sometime soon. If you're planting in a lawn area, maybe create a grass-free area around 2 feet around a tree and cover with bark mulch. A real favourite at this time of year is a tree called Amelanchier or Snowy Mespilus. These are not only a wow display in spring with beautiful blossoms of star-shaped white flowers, but they get stunning autumn colour of reds and oranges on the foliage. They produce fruit and are great for birds and wildlife. They tend to be a compact, smallish tree, so they're ideal for small gardens or an area where a large tree isn't suited. They're very easy to grow with not much in the way of maintenance. Plant in a sunny spot for best autumn colour. Use a little bit of the ericaceous compost when planting, and you can look forward to a beautiful tree that looks great throughout the year with fantastic seasonal changes. Another tree that's a great floral display is the hawthorn tree, Crataegus Paul Scarlet. Lovely double pink blossoms in May and berries or haws in autumn and winter. It can take coastal and inland exposed situations. Happy to grow in sun or partial shade, and is fully hardy, usually reaching maybe 20 feet or even less, so suited for most gardens and trouble-free. Lots of fruit trees are about to put on their spring display of flowers, and the malus or crabapple trees are a great ornamental fruit tree to grow. Lots of them are looking really, really well at the moment, so the crabapple trees. They get a load of lovely white pink flowers that really stand out, and lots of attractive fruit for autumn and winter displays. They're loved by wildlife from bees and pollinating insects in spring and the birds in the autumn. They also act is a great pollinator for culinary or eating apples, as the blossoms hold for a good length of time. They tend not to get too big, so they're suited for most gardens. The crab apples come in shades of red, orange and yellow, and most are suited for making jam or crab apple jelly. Varieties like John Downey or Red Sentinel or Gorgeous are really great to grow, but there's lots to choose from and you wouldn't be disappointed. Then there's varieties of sorbus or mountain ash, as it's sometimes known, are another tree that puts on a great display of blossoms in the spring, and they're followed in late summer or early autumn by a great display of berries in a variety of colours, from reds, pinks, yellows and oranges. So for a small tree or a large shrub, it's hard to beat the elegance of magnolias. So magnolias, they prefer somewhat of a sheltered spot for the beautiful flowers. Genii is a lovely, beautiful purple variety with lovely dark buds opening to eye-catching purple flowers, or Magnolia stellata for white star-shaped flowers. And one of the real standout trees at this time of the year are the cherry blossom trees, of which there are loads of varieties. Amongst my own favourite is the white Chirite, with a slightly weeping habit and flattens out when it matures, or Prunus Sunset Boulevard, a nice narrow conical medium-sized tree, has coppery kind of bronze young foliage and a good orange-red autumn colour. White flowers tinged with a little bit of pink. So lots of trees to choose from for a brilliant spring display and doing your bit for the environment at the same time.
And why wouldn't you want to tick those two boxes? The questions continuing to flood in, 086 1800 964 if you have a gardening question for Tom Stewart. But before we get to our listeners' questions, Tom, a few jobs drawn up for them for the week ahead.
Yeah, a couple of little suggestions. So with the promise of somewhat slightly better or not as bad weather, maybe take that opportunity to get outside and do a small bit of gardening. It's very good for your mind and soul, so you'll be glad that you did it. You can start planting up hanging baskets and window boxes to get a head start, but you need to keep them in at night until we're clear of frost. So plenty of those plants like trailing petunias will all be available from now on. If you have any spring bulbs like daffodils and stuff, you can deadhead them so that they're not using up energy creating seeds, and helps keep them looking a bit tidy as well. You could plant some bee and butterfly friendly plants and reap the benefit all summer. The likes of verbena, salvias and lavenders, wallflowers, all easy to grow and they look really, really well. You can spray the new foliage of roses with some garlic wonder or the organic rose clear just to keep them in good order. Maybe apply some of the liquid moss treatment onto the lawn and follow with some granulated feed and weed, and maybe a little shake of lawn seed just to improve the lawn to get it set up for the season ahead. And now is a great time to plant up summer flowering bulbs in pots, so the likes of dahlias, lilies and begonias and lots more, all great for long lasting summer colour, very cost effective and very easy to grow.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Tom. And now it is time to get our teeth into the listeners' questions. And first up is the one and only Kay. How are you, Kay? She says, good morning, Alan and Tom. If I wait any longer for the rain to go away, I will never get anything done in my garden. I think Tom concurs with that. At the moment, I'm concentrating on sowing a few bits and pieces in my tunnel, listening, as always, for your expert advice. So there you go. Not a question, just letting us know that she's here listening to pick up on the great advice that you're giving out, Tom. Noreen, though, is seeking your advice. She called us on 0818 400 964 and Noreen's question is that she sowed lupins a few years ago and they were all different colours, but Noreen says now they're all the same cream colour and she's wondering, why is this?
Good morning to you, Noreen. Yeah, sometimes, well, lupins, a fantastic plant to grow. A lot of people will even grow them from seed and relatively easy from that. And then, or you can buy them as plants. And again, really good and usually those tall spikes of flowers, usually quite long lasting. And as they fade, you can cut them back and you'll get a new flush of flowers from them, a little bit smaller on each time, but cutting them back two or three times. The fact that yours reverted to just that plain colour, perhaps just some of the other ones might have died off. They can be, you know, a little bit short lived. You know, you'll get a few years out of them, and maybe those creamy coloured varieties just were maybe a little bit more resilient and hung on. So certainly you could add new varieties into your collection, Noreen. What's known as the West Country lupins are arranged there that are really good. A lot of them have two-tone colours in them and they look really well, but perhaps just adding a few more with some strong colours would have a nice contrast against those creamy ones, and it'll just add to your display. But yeah, lupins, great to grow, Noreen. Good on you.
Okay, there you go, Noreen. Next up is Adrian in Crosheen, who says, hi, Alan and Tom. I have a small garden and I'd like to plant a tree, but nothing that would take over. What would you suggest?
Oh, good question, Adrian, and good morning to you too. So perhaps some of the ones we mentioned there during the piece, the crab apples, the malice, really, really nice. And at this time of the year, they just look stunning. They'll get a lovely autumn colour and they'll also get the ornamental fruits for the autumn and the winter. So crab apples would be a great choice for a small tree. Also the flowering hawthorn or even that amelanchier that we mentioned earlier. So there's a good few options for you, but certainly amongst those three, Adrian, you wouldn't go too wrong. The amelanchier, the crab apples and maybe the flowering hawthorn.
Okay, there you go, Adrian. Tess Hallinan's at Ennis says, good morning, Alan and Tom. Is seagrass good to put down in my garden, Tom? Tess wonders.
Good morning to you, Tess. Seagrass, sometimes with common names, what some person might call seagrass might be something different. So it's not one that we would sell in the garden centre. Now, we do have lots of varieties of different grasses, miscanthus and phormiums and steepas and stuff like that. So if unsure, I'd say if you find out the proper name and send us an email or give the garden centre a ring, we'll give you a bit more information on that. But grasses in general are great to grow, particularly in coastal areas. But I would usually be sticking to phormiums, cordylines, maybe some of the miscanthus and the steepas, ponytails are really nice. So yeah, if you come with the exact name of the variety you're thinking, Tess, we'll come back to you.
Okay, there you go, Tess. Mary is listening in Lahinch. How are you, Mary? Who says, good morning, Tom and Alan. My question is, what flowers to sow in window boxes that will last for the full summer, is Mary's question.
Good morning to you, Mary, and a great question. from this point onwards, there'll be a huge range of stuff that'll go in window boxes, containers, hanging baskets, all that kind of stuff. We're just in a little bit of a transition at the moment where there's still a risk of frost. You know, usually early May, the risk of frost is gone. So just a couple more weeks just to watch out. But a lot of people do like to plant some stuff up early in their window boxes and their pots and containers, and then they will keep them in at night time, especially on cold nights, give them a good head start, and then leave them out permanently, usually from early May onwards. But certainly trailing petunias, their serfinias are fantastic to grow, and they flower for ages. The flowering geraniums also are great. They're a traditional and tried and tested plant. So flowering geraniums coming in whites, pinks and reds, and a few two-tone pinks in amongst the mix. But they're brilliant for flowering for ages. And then lots of the bedding plants, anything from marigolds to alyssum and lobelia and all that. But certainly a visit to a garden centre at this time of the year, you'll start to see lots and lots of choices for stuff that'll flower all summer long. And just, as I said, just be mindful, Mary, that there's still a risk of frost in the next few weeks, but hopefully we could be out of the woods. But certainly if you plant them up, it'll give you a good head start, but just keep them in at night time just so they don't get burnt back. But lots to choose from, Mary.
Anne is next with a question for Tom, who says, good morning. I have old plum trees, and while they produce loads of fruit, a rot comes on the fruit. It starts with a syrupy juice coming from the fruit and rots and sticks to nearby fruit.
Good morning, Anne. Yes, sometimes fruit trees can be a bit problematic, and maybe on the older varieties, maybe you're just picking up a few issues there as well. Sometimes as well, and I know last summer in July in particular was very wet, and sometimes that's not conducive to good fruit setting and for good fruit production. Definitely the plum trees would benefit from a pruning in when they're dormant. So usually between November and February, you could give them a pruning. That can help a little bit, keeping the area at the base of the fruit trees weed free and grass free, just so all the nutrients are going towards the fruit itself, and giving them a good feed in spring. Some of those basic things will always help, but sometimes weather or environmental issues can just strike the plums. I don't know if there's an opportunity to pick them a little bit earlier before any rot sets in, but sometimes it's just weather conditions or environmental conditions, and are just playing havoc with them there, and it can be a bit unfortunate. You'd hope that in a normal summer you'd have nice warm, somewhat drier weather in the months of July and August, just when their fruit are getting ready to ripen and stuff, and help prevent a bit of rot. But sometimes environmental or weather conditions aren't conducive to it. But as I said, if you keep just good practice, like pruning to a nice open goblet shape in the winter months when they're dormant, and just keeping a grass-free area at the base of the tree, just so there's no competition for nutrients or for moisture, and that usually should help keep you in good stead.
Okay, we have two fruit-related questions from two Anns. The first one was from Anne with an E. Our next question is from Anne without an E, who's in Milltown. It says, hi, Alan and Tom. I need help. I put in some strawberry plants. They are flowering and little strawberry buds are appearing. Anne is wondering, should she pinch them off, or what is the best way? Because she feels it seems early for that to happen.
Good morning, Anne. Yeah, great question. And strawberry's a great plant to grow. And I really love for particularly younger gardeners as well, some when you get children involved, the fact that they can see the transition from the lovely white flower and then the little yellow centre in the middle of the flower, how that transitions, they can really see the stages of a transitioning into the strawberry fruit. It's a really good visual one. It's very clear for people to see where the fruit is coming from. But you could have an early flowering variety, so I wouldn't be too concerned. I know we have some in the garden centre as well, they're in flower, and some of them are starting to form those little fruitlets at this stage. So I would leave them as they are, and if they're in containers or whatever, you could, or even in the ground, you could start to give them a little bit of a liquid feed, like a liquid tomato food or Nutri One, something like that would be of benefit for them. But no need to pinch them out. I think you can get plenty of early varieties, mid-season and late varieties. So most likely your one there, Anne, is a mid-season or is an early variety. So I think if it's showing flowers and little fruit starting to develop, hopefully with a little bit of sunshine, they'll start to ripen, and you'll have nice fruits for the summer months ahead.
There you go, Anne. And next up is Pat, who says, hi, Alan and Tom. I put down about 100 boxes. About 24 of them got blight, possibly two boxes. I sprayed them 3 times, but it has not worked. And Pat is wondering, Tom, will he have to replace them?
Hi, Pat. So what Pat is referring to there is box blight or boxes blight, and it can affect the plants. It can be a bit of a sickener, all right. if they've gone too far, Pat, maybe the best course of action is to replace them. Now, if they're cut back, and you don't mind waiting, if they're cut back and all the affected foliage is removed, it will regrow again and come back to itself. Sometimes, depending on where it's positioned and the setup, that mightn't be a viable option. It might be a bit of a head wrecker for you looking at those gappy bits, waiting for them to recover. You've been doing the right thing. So with box blight, you want, somewhat similar to potatoes, you want to spray in advance to prevent them getting the box blight. And it's usually when the weather's warm and wet that the conditions for blight are an issue. So spraying your plants in advance is important. If you are cutting them out, it's recommended that you sterilise and have your cutting equipment all clean, so you're not spreading it to further plants. So that's one thing to be mindful of. But cutting them right back, Pat, can be a solution if you don't mind waiting for it to regrow. Or you might consider, look, hang on, I might just remove those certain blocks of plants that have been affected. Give a good clean so there's none of the foliage, the affected foliage left on the ground. Give it a good cleaning all around and maybe plant some new plants. If they were relatively small, it mightn't be too big of an issue to replace them as small plants. So either that or cutting them back, Pat, and come this summer again, keep up with your spraying with the box preventative, the box blight preventative spray, and hopefully you won't be affected this summer.
Okay, hopefully that works for you. Pat, Maria is in Six Mile Bridge, says, hi Tom and Alan, no doubt you can help with my query. I have a lovely lily which was given to me by my late mother. The problem is it had gotten too big for the space it's in. I have dug it out on several occasions and replanted and even given some away. The problem is the original keeps coming back. I would like to think it's a sign from above, but what do I do? Are the roots very deep to dig completely out?
Hey, good morning, Maria. It wouldn't be overly deep to dig them out, and it could be a good solution. Maybe finding a place where the ultimate size of the lily doesn't become an issue might be a good solution. So if there was somewhere in the garden that you thought, look, it would suit better over in that area over there where it has a bit more room, you could prepare that area, dig in plenty of multi-purpose compost into the ground and lift. Now, you might even decide to split it again, but you could lift the original plant and put it in a new area where there's plenty of space, because I suppose if a plant of any kind, be it a lily or anything else, if it's getting too big for an area, it's a bit of an inconvenience really, and it just doesn't suit. And sometimes plants end up being a little bit bigger than what we anticipated. So I'd say if there was an area in the garden that was large enough to accommodate it, that it wasn't going to become an issue, I'd say by all means you could lift it, get it in the ground. If we have any prolonged dry weather this summer, and please God we do, just keep an eye that it doesn't dry out, because inevitably some of the roots will get damaged when you're lifting it. But I'd say, Maria, yeah, why not go for it and give it a new location where it has a room to do well.
Our last question, Tom, comes courtesy of another Anne, who's asking me to ask you to spell the name of the tree that you mentioned at the beginning of In the Garden. I presume, Tom, that Anne is referring to the Amelanchier?
Yeah, that's the one. And don't hold me to my spellings, Anne, but I'll go for Amelanchier. Or even if you Google Snowy Mespelis. So Amelanchier or Snowy Mespelis. So Amelanchier. Really nice tree. Lots of nice white blossoms on it. And as I said, lovely autumn colour as well. But Amelanchier is the plant.
There you go, Anne. And hope all of you who ask questions are happy. No doubt you are. And Noreen and Marion Lynch will be particularly very happy, because they've each won themselves a €30 voucher for Kane's Garden Centre. Tom Stewart, wonderful to have you in. Thanks very much. And we will chat to you again next week. Thanks for coming in.